Let's go back to the Hebrew alphabet for a moment. And let's have a word of prayer before we do that. Brother Roger, would you mind come up here and lead us in prayer, brother?
Father, thank you for assembling us here tonight so that we can hear your word. Thank you for the time and effort that Jim has put into preparing the class for us so that we might better understand what we're reading. Guide us and direct us in all activities that we go to and through during the week, and let us do what you would direct us to do. Thank you for all you've done for us. In your name I pray.
Amen. Amen. There they are.
Sorry we were late. There was a fox outside.
Oh, yes. He's my pet.
I've never seen a fox.
You've never seen a fox?
I've never seen a fox.
If you'd gone around that door over there, you'd have seen that I left food for him. David? Ashton, would you come up here? And let's get all of you back up here again tonight, because this is total different people today than what you have here tonight. This is my son.
We're not fresh and we're all dirty now. Kids have been playing.
Cover your Ashton and the little David so everybody can see all of you. This is exactly what Thomas looked like, dead in the ringer when he was this age. Exactly. Acted like everything. Anyway, this is my son, Thomas. He's a sergeant in the Army, stationed in Fort Lewis, Washington. And they're the pride of my life, I'll tell you. I wanted you to see them so they could see everybody. And that's exactly what he looked like. When I saw him, my heart fell to the ground. That's all I can say. I don't know. Now that you've seen yourself in some movies, you understand why. All right. There they are.
Where's Marilyn?
She's at home working and doing things. Getting ready to feed you or something, I'm sure. With goodies. With some kind of goodies. And I'm sure it has sugar in it. There that girl is.
Hello.
All right. Did you get 370 last week on Sunday morning? No, 371 this week. All right.
There's
370. Yeah. 370 DVD. 370 DVD on there also.
Yeah.
Okay. And
I turned
my air conditioner off on me while I was gone. And so it's a little warmer in here than I like, for sure. We're going to do a little review tonight. And let's see, did you get any of the creation classes? Have you listened to any of them?
No.
Okay.
Is that what you're reviewing?
That's what we're reviewing.
Oh.
And we're going to review Hebrew, and we're going to review that also. Roger, could you go get one of the volume twos out of there for Thomas and Sarah? We're going to look at the Hebrew alphabet for just a moment. I think it's in the bottom, Roger.
Okay.
On the right-hand side, maybe. The Hebrew alphabet. We get a lot of English from Hebrew. We get a lot of English from Greek. We get a lot of English from Latin. English is a very poor language. It has very little root and foundation for itself. A lot of things that we get today are from these languages. Now, in ancient Hebrew, receive this like that. That is an olive. And what does that mean? It's a what? What is it? It's an ox's head. Okay. All right. And then tau. Tau was like this. Okay. And later like this. And that's a cross. That's the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Each Hebrew word means something. The olive means an ox. Okay. The Beth means a house. And the word Beth is house. Okay. Gamal is camel. And Dalith is a door. And a hay is a window. And a wow is a reaping fork. A wow, like this. I don't know whether, does that have that in front of that, Thomas? I think it's got the Hebrew alphabet in the front of it there someplace. Yeah, the vowels in the Hebrew alphabet. Yeah, okay. We're not going to spend a lot of time in there, but I want to get this across to you because these letters mean something. And when you see them in a sentence, you can understand something already. The Zion. Zion is a weapon. Zion is this little Hebrew letter like that. That's Zion. Okay? And then we have the word Cheth. Cheth. That is a fence. And then we have the Teth, like in the... And the Teth looks exactly like it is. Here's the Teth. What do you think that might be? What do you think that Teth might be? A snake. But it starts with a strong T, a real strong T. Say, teh, teh, teh. All right? Now, this is a towel. All right? And that is what? Set, set, set. Unless it has that in the middle of it. And then it's a strong T. Hebrew has several S's and several T's. And then some, like clearing your throat sounds, too. All right? Teth and then Yod. Yod, the Hebrew letter, this, is Yod. And just look at my hand for just a minute. That's Yod. It means hand. And Yod is hand. Okay? Yod and then Kof. Kof is a short, like a C, alright? And it is a open hand. Alright? That's an open hand. And then Lamet. Lamet is this. What might that be? Thomas, really, you would not like to use it. You'd like to play with one of these things. A whip. That's right. That's a whip. All right. Lamet. And then Mem. Mem has got two forms, like that and like this. Okay? Two forms. That's in or the beginning of a word, and that's at the ending, what we call a final. All right. Let's go on a little bit further. Mem, nin, nin. Nin has two forms, like that and like that. And what is a nin? Met, mem, by the way, is waters, and when you see the word M in something, like Hashemayim, we got water in it. Okay? A mayim. And then the neen is a fish. All right? And then Samek. I make a Samek like this, so it looks different than all the other letters. A Samek. And what is a Samek? That's a prop. See this prop? We had a tent propped up there in Fish Lake Valley, and the wind blew it down, and we had to re-prop it back up again. Okay? And then the ayin. Ayin. Ayin looks like this. Okay? That's an ayin, because it has eyes. Like some little monster with eyes sticking out, like crawdad or lobster. Ayin, and then pay. Now, here's a little different. Now, a lot of Hebrew texts are very poor. That is the same form. The pay is just a little deeper. All right? And the pay has a tongue in it. And what do you think that might be? Mouth with a tongue sticking out. Like that. Okay? Now, how do you say that word right there, Brother Roger? How do you say that?
Well, it's a P.
But it's not a P.
It's got a dog-ish. It's an F.
Yes. Yes. All right. It's a PH sound. But if it's got this dot in there, the dog-ish, it has a P sound, the stronger sound. All right? The same thing with the cough and everything else. All right. Pay and then sadhe. Sadhe. Sadhe is a TS sound. And the sadhe is a fish hook. A fish hook. And then a cough. The cough is this word right here. And what is that? What is the cough? That's the back of the head. The back of the head. And then resh. Resh is head. And the word head or beginning is rosh. Barashit. Barashit. In the first word in the Hebrew Bible, barashit means beginnings or head. Way back yonder. Equivalent to RK in Greek. All right? And then we have sin and shin. Sin and shin. Shin and sin. They look like a pitchfork with a dot on this side for the SH sound and a dot on that side for the SI sound. And that is tooth. That's like the roots of a tooth. All right? And then we have the word towel. The word towel, this word right here, is at the end of the alphabet, Hebrew alphabet. And the original, it was like this, which was a cross. The head. The author of creation died on the cross of Calvary to redeem his people and the world back to himself. All right? We talked about the seven tenses in Hebrew. Seven tenses in Hebrew, the stems, the verb stems. It's a call stem, all right, the call stem. Then Niphal, the PL, the Pual, the Hithel, the Hifil, and the Hophil. All right? The call stem means he killed in Katal. The Niphal stem is a simple passive, he was killed. The PL means he brutally and intensively killed. And the Pual, intensive passive, he was brutally and violently killed. And then we have the Hithel. He killed himself. That's the reflexive. And then the intensive reflexive, he killed himself violently. And the causative active is he calls to kill in the Hithel. And then the Hophil, he was caused to kill. Those are the seven stems of the Hebrew. Now let's go back and review just a little bit what we've studied. What are the different views of creation? What are the different views of creation? Okay?
Young Earth.
Young Earth. Well, tell me a little bit about Young Earth. Roger, tell me about Young Earth.
They're sort of fixed on a number of years, like anywhere between 5 and 7,000.
Yeah, that the Earth was 5 and 7,000 years old. How did they get that idea?
He did a generational count out of the Bible.
Uh-huh. And is that according to the Hebrew Bible?
Not if you go with the world was created twice.
That's right. Yeah. The young earth people, which are very intense in what they believe, and it's by faith a lot. We believe everything by faith anyway. But I want to tell you one thing. Don't ever be afraid to study archaeology, anthropology, or anything. Because the Bible is not going to disagree with medical science or real geology or anything else. Simple as that. If you study it from the original languages. Our church here believes that the Bible is absolutely, totally inspired from the original languages. No translation is perfect. That's why I'm teaching Hebrew. And that's why I teach Greek. So you'll know what it says from those languages, because sometimes people take off on a tangent just because they want to believe a certain thing, and they interpret the Bible to believe that. And that's kind of like young earth people, that the earth is only 6,000 years old. Now, if the Bible taught that, I would believe it. But that's not what the Hebrew says. All right, the Hebrew says differently, and we talked about that this morning when we talked in the book of Revelation. And in Genesis, the young earth people believe that in Genesis 3rd chapter we have the fall of Satan. But we have the fall of Satan in Genesis, the 1st chapter in verse 2, if you look at it in Hebrew. It says in the beginning, in Bereshith Bara, it says, in beginnings had created and finished. Third person singular, cal a perfect tense, had created God, the heavens. He put the heavens together, and then he placed the earth in exactly the right place where it would support life. Okay? And then it says in verse 2, and the earth, she had become formless and void. And Spirit God basically mourned over the destruction of the earth. And then the God began to construct it back together. Now, that's what the Hebrew Bible says. Okay? That is what the Hebrew Bible says, period. There are no arguments about that at all. You can argue all you want, but that's not what it says. And people say, why don't you believe in the young earth people? And I say one thing. I know Hebrew. That's it. If the Bible taught that, I would go right along with it. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Then God began to reconstruct the earth. How old the earth is, we have no idea. It could be billions of years old, millions of years. We don't know how much time passed between Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Okay? Genesis 1, we have a perfect earth. And in Genesis 2, we have a destructed earth. And what happened? Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 tells us those things. So we have two theories of creation now, don't we? We have the young earth. Okay, now, the young earth, how would the young earth people interpret Genesis 1 and 1 and 1 and 2? How would that happen? How would they interpret that?
That God created in chaos.
God created the earth in chaos. It was a process. All right, and that's exactly what the Hebrew Jewish Publication Society says, but that's not what the Hebrew says. They don't know Hebrew because they're doing something. They're translating the Bible according to what they believe. They're translating the Bible according to what they believe. Not, it's what we call an interpretation, not a translation, and that's what I tried to bring with you. We're not interpreting the Bible. We are translating the Bible. There's a difference. Now, where did this chaos that God created chaos, where did it come from? Where did that come from? From the Babylonian idea of creation a long, long time ago. Okay? That's where that came from. So now we have basically three different views, but the young earth theory also believes in the Babylonian. The Catholic Church for 1,500 years taught this young earth Babylonian idea of creation because they adopted so much of the Babylonian philosophy into Catholicism. Okay? All right, 15 and verse 9, 18 in the book of Exodus, Wi'ale Shemot. What does Wi'ale Shemot mean? Wi is what?
Yeah.
And. Ele. These. Shemot. Names. And these names. Now, the book of Exodus, it's the book of Exodus in English, isn't it? Where do we get the word Exodus? From the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. The Hebrew Bible is Wi'ale Shemot, these and these names. From the Septuagint, we have Exodus, the way out. All right? The way out. The way out. In Lakota, the way out is Hantiyot. Okay, Hantiyo. That means the way out or the road out. It's almost the same idea as Exodus, the road out. Exodus. Now, we've seen a lot of stuff here in the book of Exodus so far. Let's go back to Exodus, the 15th chapter, and let's bring us up. Cindy, do you have your Amplified Bible again tonight? you want to come up here and read us about the last six verses before we, before 18 down to about 15 and verse 12. 15 and verse 12. Cindy is our mathematics professor. Mathematics. Evolution can't happen according to mathematics. It's totally impossible, isn't it? Go ahead, Cindy.
You stretch out your right hand, the earth's sea swallowed them. You in your mercy and loving kindness have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The peoples have heard of it. They tremble. Pangs have taken hold on the inhabitants of Philistia. Now the chiefs of Edom are dismayed. The mighty men of Moab, renowned for strength, trembling takes hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away little by little. Terror and dread fall upon them because of the greatness of your arm. They are as still as a stone till your people pass by and over into Canaan. O Lord, till the people pass by whom you have purchased. You will bring them into the land and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, you have made for your dwelling and sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established.
Thank you, Cindy. Now we've studied some things. We see a lot of difference in the Hebrew Bible than in the English Bible. Okay? We're going to back and cover some of them as we do tonight. When Moses and Aaron, when Aaron actually threw down God's rod, which is Moses' rod or whatever, when he threw it down in Pharaoh's palace, what did it become? Huh? A dragon. It did not become a snake. The word snake in Hebrew is what? Nahash. Nahash. But that word is tanin. Tanin. What did this thing become? What did this rod become? That's very easy to believe that that rod became a snake, doesn't it? Because the rod looked like a snake. But what if it becomes a dragon like a Tyrannosaurus Rex? Or the Hebrew idea of Leviathan, which is a great fire-breathing dragon. Okay? That takes a little more faith, doesn't it? So it didn't become a snake, it became a dragon. Now, when Jannes and Jambres threw down their rods, and by the way, how do we know who these magicians were? How do we know the names of those magicians? The Book of Enoch, but how about the New Testament? Does the New Testament tell us about who these two guys were?
Jude.
Huh?
In Jude?
No. In Timothy. Oh. Paul's letter to Timothy. He tells us that Jannes and Jambres are the ones. And who was their daddy? Huh?
Balaam.
Balaam. That bad guy in the Old Testament, Balaam, was their daddy. All the way back over there in Exodus, in Egypt, here we have Balaam over there. You know, Balaam had an animal that talked to him. David, did you know that? Have you ever had an animal talk to you, David? Has your dog ever talked to you? Huh? Huh? Thomas, have you ever had an animal just jump right up and start talking to you in English? I mean, Pancho could tell us what to do, couldn't he? Pancho was a smart dog. He could tell you what he wanted. And pull tricks on you, too. He was pretty slick about it. Pancho, and Thomas remembers Pancho was a little chihuahua. He was almost 40 years old when I had to put him to sleep. He, when he was, yeah, we got him when he was 7 years old. My youngest boy was five, and Pancho was seven. And I have a picture of them, and then I have a picture when Thomas was a little boy, and Dakota was a little boy, and that's a whole lot of years later. But Pancho, I would be studying him and study all my life. I studied a lot. And Pancho would come in, and he'd hit me on the side of the leg like that, or on the chair that I was sitting in, wanting me to get out and let him out because he had to go to the bathroom. He'd come up there and keep pestering me to do that, and of course, I don't want him to dirty up the floor. So I finally get up, and I walk through the living room, out of the library, through the living room, and we have a hallway, and over to the right is a kitchen. Now, many times he wanted to go out the door, but every now and then he wanted a treat. So he'd go to the kitchen when he got me up. And I'd look at Pancho, and I'd kick him outside, and I'd give him a treat. He could talk to you. He really would communicate. If somebody was around, he'd wake you up and would not let you sleep. He would jump and hit the bed until you woke up, and then if you didn't get up, he'd jump up on the bed and start whining and barking and going on. Well, Balaam's, he had a donkey. And his donkey said, "Why are you beating me? Haven't I been a good donkey all my life?" And Balaam's sitting there and he said, "Well, yeah, you won't go, I'll kill you," and all this kind of stuff. But he saw an angel stopping him. He was going to go curse the people of God. So Balaam's donkey talked to him one time. That's the same Balaam that is over here in the book of Exodus there in Egypt. Okay? And his two sons, Jannes and Jambres, are opposing Aaron. By the way, Moses didn't throw his rod down, it was Aaron. Moses did not talk to Pharaoh. Aaron talked to Pharaoh. Okay? Aaron was the spokesman. Moses had a speech impediment. He had a speech impediment. And Aaron spoke for him. Of course, God could fix that speech impediment very easily. But he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to talk. So he said, "I'm going to send Aaron to be your spokesman. You'll be a god to them, and he will be your prophet." And when he threw his rod down, it became a dragon. And when Jannes and Jambres threw their rods down, what did they become? Dragons. Also. Dragons also. Okay. Now, we're getting ready here. We just crossed. We're studying the Song of Moses. And what is the Song of Moses?
Where they celebrated getting
out. Where they celebrated after they had escaped from the land of Egypt. Now, Moses makes a song. He creates this song, and he's singing the song, and Miriam singing the song to Israel to remind that, and it's the praise of God. This is a song, like we sing gospel songs and whatever. This was a creation song and a rescue song. That's what we're studying here. Now, here's another little thing that's a little different in the Hebrew Bible than it is in the English Bible. The English Bible says that Israel crossed what? What sea did they cross? The Red Sea. Where did you get that idea? Where did that Red Sea business come from? Huh? From the Septuagint. In the Hebrew, what does this say? The Reed Sea. That's a mud hole of a sea. Now, let me tell you this also. Now, it takes a lot of faith to believe that that rod became a dragon rather than a snake. If they crossed the Reed Sea, which was not as deep, and it was a mud hole with quicksand in it, and it said that the breath of God, the Ruah of God, blew and made the waters turn into what? What did the waters turn into? Jello. They gelled. The waters gelled. And God blew the ground, His breath, or a wind from God, blew across the mud hole, the quicksand. How much have you ever been in quicksand? Not in the army. I haven't ever been in the quicksand. Quicksand is miserable stuff. You get your shoe in there, you may get your whole body in there, and it won't come out. I guarantee you stick your foot in quicksand, the shoe is going to stay there if you get your foot out. It just grabs a hold of you. That's what that ground was like there. It was a deep, mucky mud. And God dried it out, and Israel went through on dry ground, it said. And then when Pharaoh's army went through there, the chariot wheels got stuck in what? In quicksand and mire, and it pulled the wheels off. And they couldn't make any progress at all. And then God turned the waters back into water from like jello. It was like pudding or jello standing up. And then the waters came back upon them and drowned them. God could drown somebody in a teacup if He wanted to. The Red Sea is much deeper, but the Reed Sea is what they crossed. Simple as that. Exodus 15 and 18. We're still in this beautiful song. It starts out Hadabar, Yimlok, Leolam, Waed in Hebrew. Now, Hadabar is what? Hadabar.
It's what they use as
the word. Okay? That's what it literally is. But that's what they use in the name, in place of the name of Jehovah. All right, Jehovah. Jehovah means what? Who shall become, because it comes from the Hebrew root, Hayah. All right, which means to become. The one who shall become Jehovah in the Old Testament will become flesh in the New Testament. Your Jehovah Witnesses and your Garnered Head Armstrongites and all these people, you know, from the same bunch, they believe that Jesus was an angel. And that he was an angel that was sent to the earth. But the name Jehovah means he who shall become, and where is the fulfillment of the Jehovah title literally in the New Testament? John 1:14. Can you quote that? Who can quote John 1:14? Cindy, can I know? Kai ho logos, sarx eganeto. Kai and ho logos and the word, the Jehovah, flesh, he became for himself middle voice. What is a middle voice in the volatile quality in the Hebrew tenses? Cohortive and fusive. All right. Let's go on a little bit further now. So we have the first word here. We have the word name Jehovah. We have the name of God, the personal name of God, the one who shall become. And then it says Yimelech. What does that mean? Yimlok. He reigns as king. We have a Moloch here. We have king. There was a man in the Bible that said he was a very famous king of Jerusalem or Salem. What was his name? Huh? Melchizedek. Which means the King of Righteousness, which was a type of Christ to come. Some people believe that it was a pre-incarnate form of Christ, literally. But he was at least the type of Christ, the King of Righteousness. And Abraham paid tithes to him after he whipped all those guys down there. You know that God rescued Sodom and Gomorrah one time? God rescued them. When Lot was carried off of those kings, God sent Abraham down there, and Abraham had a great army. And Abraham was a great general, too. Abraham had a lot of people. And he went down there with his armies, and they rescued Lot and rescued all those kings and brought them out of there. And the king said, oh, just let us pay you, take anything you want. You can have all of Sodom. And he said, I won't take a dime, not one dime, not one cent. It's Jehovah God that won this battle. And then God, because they wouldn't repent, he killed them all. He saved them, and then he killed them. As simple as that. That was a horrible, horrible state of being right there. Yimlok means he reigns as king. And Li'alam. What are the Hebrew prepositions? What are they?
Mem.
Okay. What else?
Lamet.
Beth. All right. These are some of the Hebrew prepositions. When you see one of these in front of a word, that's a preposition, and preposition is tied right in. It's what we call inflected in there. Now, man, which is from, like that, it can stand alone, but if you put it in front of a word, it means from. All right? And lamet means to, and then bathe means in. All right? Li'olam, unto forever. Eistonion, tonion. That's the Greek equivalent to it. Unto forever. It means a long, long, long period of time. And the idea is, whatever you can imagine in eternity, you go with your mind to that point. Okay? We can imagine that. Let's look up here at this chart that we have. See, that's what I kept pointing to all of you. You saw me standing on this chart. Long time ago. Eternity to eternity. Now, we can see an idea, we can have an idea that here, over here, that God created Adam. So, we can realize that. Because Adam lives, he's our father. Alright? We come down to here, we have Noah over here, we have Nimrod, and all the rats over here that caused the earth to be shook up and divided. It says, in the days of Peleg, God divided the earth. And then we have Abraham called out by Jehovah God. And then we have the Egyptian bondage. God told him that his people would be down in Egypt for 400 years. And they'd come out rich. They would be slaves, but they'd come out rich.
What was the only tribe in Egypt that were not slaves that did hard labor?
Levi.
All right, Levi was the only tribe. And what did the tribe of Levi do? What was their occupation? Huh? Goldsmiths. They were goldsmiths. They were the ones that did all the gold and pounded out all the gold and everything. They were goldsmiths. Well, anyway, they came out, and we have Moses leading them out. And what does Moses, how do you say that in Hebrew? Moshe. What does Moshe mean? It means to draw out or to rescue. He would be the one. And Pharaoh's daughter named him. What was Pharaoh's daughter's name? You remember? Give me a translation of it. You don't have to remember the name. Daughter of God. Daughter of God, because Pharaoh was looked at as God. So then we have Moses. And then Moses is given the law, and we have the law until Jesus Christ. And now we can understand this, because now Jesus Christ has died. Jehovah has become flesh. He's died to save all of mankind, and he's going to buy the world back because of what he did. Alright? And then we have the church age, which we live in. And the age just around the corner is the tribulation period. And then we have another 1,000-year reign of Christ right here, where Israel will be the administrator of God's kingdom again for 1,000 years. And then we have all of the dead, all of the lost people resurrected, and they're judged where they would be put in the eternal fire. And this is what we call the Great White Throne Judgment. And then we have eternity again. Now, we can understand that to some extent, can't we? Olam goes beyond all of that. Because Olam has no ending. Ace Tony on has one ages upon ages upon ages. That's how far long this Li Olam is. Unto beyond anything that you can imagine. Beyond this. Beyond this. God will be king forever and ever and ever and ever. And La Ed. And unto. Od is a preposition, which means unto. It is kind of a conjunctive preposition. Even an adverb in a way. 15 and verse 19. Ki. Va. Sus. Pero. Barikbo. Ubifarasha. Bayam. Yashev. Haldabar, Alihim, Et, Hayamim, we'll say Et, Me, and then Hayam, Yuvene, Yisrael, Haliku, Bayabasha, Bitok, Bayam. He is because. All right. He had come. Because he had come, third person masculine singular, child perfect, he had come, horses. That word sus. What is the word horse in Greek? We got a word, a scientific word out of that. What is the Greek word for horse? Hippos. And we get the word hippopotamus, which means water horse, out of that word, hippopotamus. And what is the word in Lakota? Shukawakan. That means horse, Shukawakan. All right, and Pharaoh, Pero is what it is. It's a Pero, see that P there? And it's got a dot in the middle of it. All right, it's got a dot in the middle of that, which means it's a strong P there. Not a PH. Not Pharaoh, but it's Pero. Alright? What does Pharaoh mean? Pharaoh. Huh? The guy that lives in the big house. That's what Pharaoh means. The guy that lives in the big house. That's what they did. In Egypt, he lives in the big house. Pharaoh's built them big houses. And then Birikbo in chariots of him. That's in the possessive, in the genitive case there, in chariots of him. And his horsemen. All right? And they drowned in the sea, Biyam, in the waters. And he was bringing back Jehovah. That word Jehovah, that word Hadabar, here we have. Every time we see the word Jehovah in the Old Testament, I want you to get the idea that he was the one that would become. He was the one that would become that, because that's what it means. In John 1:14, and the word, the Jehovah, flesh he became. Upon them, Jehovah became upon them. You know, the Lord, our Savior, is a warrior. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, which we haven't got to yet on Sunday morning, we're going there. In the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation, we have our warrior on a white horse. And all of his people following him, and his saints following him on the white horses. You know, in the old cowboy movies, most of the good guys had white horses and white hats, didn't they? Or a palomino. The bad guys wore black hats. Okay? So in the New Testament, we have a man on a white horse, and he's our Savior. And it says, on his chaps is a name. A wonderful name. In Hebrew, what is that name? Adonai Ha'adonaim. King of kings and Lord of lords. That's where it comes from. King of kings and Lord of lords. On his chaps and on his breastplate, he has this. King of kings and Lord of lords. Because that's who Jesus is. He's the King of kings. He's the very one that we talked about in the last verse. The King of kings and the Lord of lords. It says, we have Eth here. Eth. Eth is a sign of direct object. What's the Greek equivalent to Eth? Ace. Alright? And then May. May means what? Meh. Remember when we say Mem? We see waters. Alright? Waters. And the sea, alright, Hayom, the sea, and the sons. Look at that word, Yuvanay. 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 Vanay. Ben. Ben. Ben means what? According to a pattern. A son is according to a pattern. And I can guarantee you absolutely that little boy is according to that pattern. We see that. Every little thing, every little movement that little David does is exactly like his father was 20 years ago. Exactly like that. According to a pattern. According to a pattern. That's what the word Ben means. All right? What is the name for father in the Hebrew Bible? Abba. 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 And the reason why they... Abba. All right, here we have Abba. What does Abba mean? What does Abba mean? All right, Aleph means head, and Beth means house. The head of the house. The father is the head of the house. Simple as that. The head of the house. Abba. Abba. Okay? And then we have Beth means house. See? And then Ben means according to a pattern. According to a pattern. Let's go on a little bit further. And the sons. We have that we in the, or you in there in the front of it, which is a Y. That means and the sons. Here it's got that little dit in the middle of it, which means it's a U sound. And then when you have Yisrael, Yisrael. What does Yisrael mean? A man who wrestles with God. Do you remember how Jacob got this name? Jacob was not a little bitty scrawny rat. As most preachers, how many of you ever heard people say he was a mama's boy and all this kind of stuff? I'm going to tell you, Jacob was the breadwinner of his home. He was the cowboy of his family. He went out and wrestled all the cattle and he chased away all the wolves and all the bears and all the lions and everything, and he was the breadwinner of his home. And Esau was a playboy. Esau was a rough character. He was a tough guy and a very, very vicious man. But Jacob was so much stronger. I think Jacob could have just went like that to Esau. But he didn't. Esau was a vicious man. What does Esau mean? Huh? What does Esau mean?
Hairy.
Because he was hairy. Edom means what?
Red.
Because he had red hair. All right. He was hairy and he had red hair. That's who he was. old Red Harry. Esau was a strong man, all right, as far as hunting and things like that, but Jacob was so much stronger. Remember when he, by Rebekah, caused him to steal his brother's birthright, but actually he had already bought his brother's birthright. And we have in the Bible, we have a man of God supposed to be doing God's thing, and we have a woman that has to step in. And this woman that steps in gets the man straightened out, even if she has to do it by deceit. The Bible says Esau, God said in the Bible, Esau what? I hated. Why did God hate Esau? Because he was a rat. He didn't care anything about God's promises at all. Period. Okay? And Jacob what? And Jacob I loved. Because Jacob wanted the things of God. Esau was the firstborn. They were twins, but he was the firstborn. Esau was the firstborn. But he didn't care anything about what would happen in the future. All he wanted was now. Now. He was hungry now. And he went into the camp. He'd been out chasing gazelles or antelope or deer or whatever he was chasing. And he came into the camp, into Jacob's camp, and he said, "Oh, I'm famished. Give me some of that lentil soup that you're making." What it was, lentils were like little beans, like they taste a lot like lentil beans. And that is the cheapest commodity in the land of Palestine, by the way. That's the cheapest thing you can buy. He said, "Give me some of that lentil soup." And Jacob says, "I'll sell some to you." "Well, what do you want for it?" He said, "I want your birthright. You don't care anything about it anyway." And he said, "No, I don't. You can have it. What is it going to do to me if I die of thirst and hunger?" Now, he could have gone on a little bit further than he went and died of thirst, but he smelled that soup. And that soup was drawing him. That's what you call the lust of the flesh. Even food can become a sin if you let it come. Well, Esau did. He wanted that food more than he wanted the promise of God. And Jacob wanted the promises of God. Because he thought in the future. And God saw that in his heart. And so what happened? He traded that. Now, I guarantee you, in that home, they knew exactly what Esau had done, and they knew exactly what Jacob had done. Okay? And Isaac knew that Jacob had fought Esau's birthright. But Jacob, no matter what a scoundrel Esau was, he was going to bless him anyway. And also, what else had happened before that? The woman of the family had a dream. And what did God tell her in the dream when she was pregnant? What did God tell her? What? Okay, the youngest will rule over the oldest. And the youngest will take over, and he will become the head of the family. He will be the patriarch. Now, we're talking about in the time of the patriarch, and what does patriarch mean? It means the father head of the family. He would be the leader. He would be the spiritual head and everything. Okay? Now, as we see all of this here, we're going to go into a land of Palestine, and the land of Palestine is populated with what? Ishmael and Esau's descendants. When Jesus comes on the throne, or when Jesus is born into the land of Palestine, who is on the throne? Esau's descendant, not Jacob's descendant. And Israel is just all happy because they are bought and sold out. Their religion is bought and sold out. They don't care. They have a temple. We have a temple. Today they want a temple. They don't want the Messiah. And then the false Messiah, the Antichrist, is going to give them a temple. Okay, let's go on a little bit further. And the waters and the sons of Israel. Israel means the one who wrestled with God. God met him at the brook Jabbok. Jesus wrestled with Jacob. And Jacob would not let Jehovah go until he blessed him. And what happened to Jacob? What did God do to him? He crippled him. He crippled him. He crippled his hips. And he limped. And it says, and they had walked in dry land in the middle of the sea. They did. They walked in dry land in the middle of the sea. Exodus 15 and 20. Watikach. Miriam. Hanaviah. Achot. Aharon. Het. Hatop. Biyada. Watetsind. Kal. Hanashim. Achariha. Betup Pim. Uvim Halot. Oh, that word Halot, the on the end of there, that should have an H sound on the end. It's like Halot, okay? Because it doesn't have a doggish in the middle of that towel, does it? Well, let's go back and see what it says. And she took, and she kept on taking. Third person, feminine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. That's the verb. Okay? And she took and kept on taking Miriam. What modern name would this Miriam be? Huh? The masculine name is Marion. But also Mary. You know a man by the name of Marion?
Cowboy.
Okay. Marion. Okay. Marion is a masculine for Mary. Okay. And Mary is the same thing. Marion is all the same thing. But what does that all mean? What does the name Mary mean? Bitter. Bitter. Means bitter. Okay. Bitter. Page 599 in Brown Driver Briggs. Then we have Ha Han Neviah. Ha-Neviah. It literally means the whisperer. The whisperer. There was a movie out one time called The Horse Whisperer, wasn't it? The Horse Whisperer, a horse trainer. Okay? I used to train horses. A long time, trained horses for old Cord up there. One time, Dakota got a little white horse we called Peanut, and I trained 20 ponies for that little white horse. For her little white horse. I trained 20 of them to harness. I was a horse whisperer, see. Now this here, this whisperer here, also means prophet. All right? It comes from the word nabet. Okay? And it means to whisper. And what the idea is that God whispered in her ear and told her things. Okay? God whispered in the ear. We have men that are prophets, and mostly men were prophets in the Old Testament. But every now and then, we see a woman prophetess. And Miriam is a prophetess. Evidently, God inspired her to sing. Okay? And this is what she's singing here. All right? The prophetess, this whisperer, the sister of Hachot. Hachot. What is the word for brother and sister in Greek? What's the word for brother and sister in Greek? What is it? Huh? Adelphos and Adelphi. Adelphos. We have the name Philadelphia, which means what? Brotherly love. Or sisterly love is what it means. Adelphos. Now, what does the name Adelphos, what does that mean? You remember, Chris? What does that mean? Cindy, you remember what Adelphos means? How about it, Sharon? Come on now, Roger. Pam. From the same womb. Adelphos and Adelphi mean from the same womb. And we find out that Jesus had brothers and sisters from Mary, from the same womb. They were Adelphos and Adelphi. All right? She was not a perpetual virgin, but she had more children than Jesus. She had a lot of children, as a matter of fact. Lots of them. Okay? From the same womb. And that's what the idea here is, from the same womb, from the same family, from the same house. Achare. All right? The sister of Aharon. What does Aharon mean? What would be the modern name for... Well, we have men named Aaron today. But what is a modern name for that? What is the Greek name for Aaron? What is the masculine Greek name for Aaron? Photios, which means light. Light. Comes from phos. We get a word phosphorus or light. Photo. All of this from that word. Phos in Greek. All of the medical and scientific language comes from Greek. All of the legal language comes from Latin. Okay? Aharon, light, is what his name means, or enlightened. And then Et Timbrel, all right? And she's got a timbrel in hand, and she's singing an inspired song. God has whispered in her ear. A timbrel in hand. Ba yada. See that word yod in there? That yod? That means hand. And third person feminine plural. And she went out. And she went out. All the women after her. There was a whole, what we call a whole feminine chorus now. We have all these women, we have a feminine chorus. And you see that in Hebrew. You don't see it in English unless they translate it over there. With timbrels and with dancing. All right? And the word dancing here is actually not so much dancing around on your feet, but it was an instrument that they used, a dance. Of course, they danced with it. Now, back in biblical days, men and women didn't dance together, did they? Women danced with women and men danced with men. That's the way they did. Arm in arm, they did these dances, okay? And that's what they would do. Now, 15 and verse 21. 15 and verse 21. Wat ta'an. Wat ta'an. Lehem. Miriam. Sheru. Li hadavar. Ki. Tau. Go, Sus, We Rock Kevo, Rama Bayam. And she kept on singing. Third person feminine, singular, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And she kept on singing to them, to all of this women chorus. She kept leading them in song. Miriam. And then we have the word Sheru. And that means singing. In other words, this is imperative mode, and so she's causing them to sing. She's what we call the orchestra leader. Okay? To Jehovah. Lehadabar. To Jehovah. And Jehovah means what? The one who shall become, or the Word. In John 1 and 1, that is not a Greek idea of logos. It is a Hebrew idea of Hadabar, the Word, which means Jehovah. And then Ki means because of, and then Ga'o, to rise up. He has risen up. Ga'o, Ga'a. Ga'o, Ga'a. To rise up, he has risen up. The first one there, Ga'a, is Cal infinitive absolute. And the second one is third person masculine, the singular, Cal perfect. He has risen up. They look a lot alike, don't they? And then the horse, the Sus, the hippos. And riding one him, masculine singular, cal participle, riding, that means and one riding, and then third person masculine singular, suffix him. He has thrown down into the sea, Bayom, into the sea. All right, 15 and verse 22. 15:22. Why Yasa, Moshe, et Yisrael, Miyam, Suf, Why Yitzhu, El Midbar, Shur, Why Yeleku, Shiloshet. Yamim, Ba Midbar, Wilo, Matsu, Mayim. Let's look at this one. And he moved and kept on moving Moses. All right, and he kept on moving. Third person, masculine, singular, hithal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And it's right there, the we in the front of it, the why, that wow in front of it. And he kept on moving Moses. And then we have the sign of the direct object where it's telling where he's going. He's moving toward Israel. Okay? Yisrael. From the sea, Mayam, from the sea of reeds. Again, it's not the Red Sea, but the sea of what? The sea of reeds. Okay? and then Y-I-T-S-U. And we have a whole controversy over that today. They said, all these modern people believe that they crossed the sea of reeds where they could just walk through. Well, maybe they could walk through it, but it was quicksand in it. God had to dry it up. Maybe they could wade across the Reed Sea, but I doubt it. But the idea is there that God dried it up and made the waters gel on the side and dried the ground out so Israel could walk through on dry ground, solid ground. And then when Pharaoh's army got in there, they got stuck in the mud and pulled the wheels off their chariot and they drug and they couldn't go. And God drowned every one of them. Simple as that. Period. Into the sea. The waters of Marah. 15:22. And he moved Moses, Israel, from the Sea of Reeds, and they went unto the Midbar, El Midbar. El is unto there, it's a preposition, page 39. And then the word Midbar, what does Midbar mean? What's Midbar mean? What's the word Midbar? Cindy, you remember what that word means, Midbar? It means a cow trail. A cow trail. Medbar was a wilderness. A Medbar is when cowboys drove stock through. I have a movie called Grass, and they're following grass. The herders are following grass and driving 50,000 head of animals through this grass. But they had to know the track. They had to know the pathway. And this word Medbar means wilderness. You can get out there in any wilderness and you can get lost. J.J. Lopez, he drove sheep all the way from the Tejon Ranch up there. He got them out there, and Sarah, you came through over there by Goldfield the other day, and that's where they got stuck out there. They got stuck out there with no water by Goldfield, Nevada. And J.J. Lopez had a dog and a horse. And he was out there rounding up cattle. They had a spring that was running out there, but it was running water, and the sheep wouldn't drink from it, and the sheep just scattered. They were afraid of the water. We have thousands of head of sheep scattered all over those hills out there where you came the other day. Right where you came down, and you went up the light of pass up there. That's where they were all scattered out. J.J. Lopez, he gathered up all of those sheep that he could and tried to drive them back. And meanwhile, he said, you guys go out there and you take that running stream and you dig a hole out there and make a basin where those sheep will drink out of it and they won't be afraid of it because they run from running water. Sheep are silly. Water's water, you know, but not to a sheep. It's got to be still water. The Lord is my shepherd. He does what? Huh? He leads me beside still waters, not running waters. It scares them. Still waters. So he had them do this, and finally he came back. He was so dehydrated and shot out there because there was no other water anyplace else that his horse and his dog led him home, and he had completely passed out from exhaustion. And they brought him into the camp, and they had to go get, saw him out there, and they went and took him in and fed him and watered him to revive him. All right? Sheep. All right. The Sea of Reeds and went into this wilderness, this untrackable wilderness. They had hired, the Tone Ranch had hired this old man, said he knew their way. He didn't know the way. He lied to him. He just got a job. And likely got them all killed because he didn't know the way. This is a trackless wilderness where you have to know where to drive the animal. The wilderness of Shur. Okay. And they walked and kept on walking 3 days into the trackless wilderness, into the trackless wilderness, and not they had found waters. Here we are, not they had found waters. You want another verse or you want to quit right here? One more. All right, 15:23. Where did we start tonight anyway? 18? All right. We'll go to 23 now. Exodus, Wheel HMO 23. Yavu, Marata, Wilo, Yakilu, Lishta. All right. Mayim, Mem Mara. He, Marim. Him, all, can. Kara, Shema, Mara. Vayavu. And they came and kept on coming unto a bitter. They came to a bitter place. A Mara, a bitter place. And not they had been able to drink from waters of bitter. This was a bitter waters. These waters were poison. They were bitter. This is a poison stream. I don't know what caused it to be poison, but they were bitter and poison. Because bitter them unto thus he had called the name bitter. Okay? Because he called the name of this place bitter, bitter waters. Because the waters were bitter. Undrinkable. And they were thirsty. They were thirsty. And they were dying of thirst. Dying of thirst. Let's read this from Exodus 15. Let's read it from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is a pretty good explanation of things. 15 and verse 20 through 23. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and dancing. And Miriam responded to them, saying to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously and is highly exalted. The horse and his rider he has thrown down into the sea of reeds. All right? And Moses led Israel onward from the Reed Sea. It says Red Sea there, but that is not what it says in Hebrew. From the Reed Sea, and they went into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days. All right? Which is about 33 miles, probably. Into the wilderness and found no water. And they came to Mara, and they could not drink its waters, for they were bitter. Therefore it was named Mara, bitterness. Now right there is where we're going to get started next week. On this verse, do you have any questions? You have any questions, Sarah? Mm-hmm. All right, do you know what your name means?
Yeah, you showed me
as the
two
words. Uh-huh. It means princess. But it means princess who wrestles. A powerful woman. Sarah was a powerful wrestling woman. All right? She was a princess. All right. Sari. Sari. That word right there. That's it. Sari. Okay. You have any questions? No? None of you? Yes, Chris.
Okay, so, I grew up hearing the Red Sea too.
Mm-hmm.
So where in correlation to the Red Sea is the Reed Sea?
It's a little way off from there.
Is it?
Yes. There are, how many Mount Sinai's are there?
25, 26
Mount Sinai. I believe the real Mount Sinai is probably St. Catherine's. Okay, I really believe that. That's the traditional one. But the reason why I believe that is because there was an ancient library. It goes back to about 300 A.D. That points to it from that period of time, about 300 A.D. Okay? They have a mountain Sinai over there that's got black volcanic rocks on top of it, and they say that's where God was and everything else. I mean, there's a lot of different treks that they had, but the Bible says, the Hebrew Bible says they went across the Reed Sea. And they have all the different kinds of crossings, and if you could study, this is a whole study in itself. Okay? But it does not say Red Sea, it says Reed Sea. The Reed Sea is from the Septuagint, which is incorrect. Incorrect. As a matter of fact, the Septuagint translates Genesis 1 and 1 and Genesis 1 and 2 incorrectly. Did you know that? Why did they translate in 300 B.C., basically 280 B.C., why did they translate the Hebrew Bible incorrectly in Greek? In Genesis 1 and 1, it says in beginnings in Hebrew, but it said in the beginning. In the Greek, in the beginning. In arche. That's not what it says in Hebrew. And then it says the earth was kept on being formless and void. Why did they say that? Why did the Hebrew Bible say that? Why did they translate it that way?
because they believed in the Babylonian idea of creation, because Israel had been in the Babylonian captivity for several years. All right, so you got to study that little business. And that's where they got the Reed Sea to the Red Sea also, because the Septuagint says the Red Sea instead of the Reed Sea. And they were studying the Septuagint. And then what we have today, and if you'll study all your Bibles, it'll say over there in the column, in a real good study Bible, it'll say this is the ancient Hebrew, says Reed Sea, not Red Sea. Okay? Yes. That is the Greek Septuagint of the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, which was not inspired. Okay? It was the Bible they used. It was just about as inspired as King James.
And they took the Hebrew, translated into Greek.
No.
Oh, the Greek into English?
The Septuagint was ordered in Alexander's time, so the Jews had quit speaking Hebrew. Okay, I want you to understand that when they were in Babylonia, they were speaking Arabic. Okay, and they had been speaking this for a long, long time, and they translated the. Now, let me tell you the tradition of this. Okay, let's get to tradition. This is baloney, but this is a tradition. The tradition is that they took 72 Hebrew-Greek scholars and put them in separate cells in Alexandria, Egypt. And they went in there and they translated the whole Old Testament, every one of them, together without seeing and conferring with each other, and they translated it word for word. That's where we get the word 70. LXX. Okay? And we have Greek numerals. These are Greek numerals, aren't they? Are they Greek numerals or Roman numerals? No, they're not Roman. They're Greek numerals. The Roman borrowed and made the Greek numerals, but we call them Roman numerals. You're taught in school that Roman numerals, but they're actually Greek numerals. But L is 50, and X is what? 10 and 10. And actually, it should be LX 72, but they call it the Septuagint, the 70. They said that all of them came out with a trained translation, but that was basically nothing but tradition. Okay? The Septuagint is what they used back then, but Jesus corrected the Septuagint in several places. He always quoted from the Septuagint, but because that was a common translation. But sometimes he would correct it when it needed correcting. Whoever the writer of the book of Hebrews was only quoted from the Septuagint and not from Hebrew. He did not know Hebrew. Whoever the writer of the book of Hebrew was. You see all this stuff in the languages that you don't see anyplace else. That help you? Okay. The Septuagint is a Hebrew translation, which was about 285 B.C. before Christ, of the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. Okay. And with that translation came the Babylonian ideas and all of the traditions, what we call the Mishnah and the Talmud. Their interpretations of the Bible. So it was not really a direct translation, but an interpretation. Okay, an interpretation. And when we study Hebrew and we study Greek, we get translations, not interpretation. That's the whole thing. Translation, not interpretation. You don't interpret, you translate it. It's different when you interpret and you translate. All right. Can I turn you loose on the world and go out and do something eternal? All right. All right. Any other questions? Thomas, you got any questions? Those little kids were so quiet. Word them out, didn't you? Christine, would you mind coming up here and dismiss us in prayer? Christine is my neighbor and my helper out there so much, and her kids. She's got an army.
Yeah, we're tired. We were shoveling rock yesterday.
Oh.
Dear Lord, I just thank you for tonight, and I thank you for this class, and I thank you for Brother Jim, Lord, and I just pray that you'll bless him and bless his family and enjoy the time he has with his son and his grandkids. And Lord, I just pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds and help us to absorb what we've been learning and then go out and use it for your kingdom. We ask this in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, don't take this stuff and go out and be controversial in it, but I'll tell you what, for your own edification, you will know what the Bible says. And when you become a Bible teacher, you'll be able to teach the right things. Correctly. As simple as that. Because the Lord holds us accountable to those things.
All right. Go out and do something eternal. Thank you for being here tonight.